John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spend on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto. America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Don't think of us as just sports talk. Think of us as a full immersion crash course in sports news
you can use.
You listen,
you learn.
Get the winning edge. This is Sports Grid Radio on Sirius XM.
Welcome into the early line. Kevin Wallace from Donnie Wrightside, making it happen with you right here on Sports Grid. Game of the week for week number 10, it has to be Aaron Rodgers versus Russell Wilson. Although, is it out of the realm of possibility that we got Geno Smith versus Jordan Love? I won't rule out a single thing, Donnie. Right now, the Packers are 3.5-point favorites. This total, 48.5. What do you make of Russell Wilson returning to the starting gate here for Seahawks?
You know what's interesting about this, too, because, you know, we don't really know the condition of Aaron Rodgers. Seems to be he's fine, maybe a little symptoms early on. But, again, you're not doing your cardio. You're not throwing with your, you know, teammates there. And the reason why I'm bringing up Aaron Rodgers over, you know, taking a look at the quarterback on the opposite side here in Russell Wilson is the simple fact is I think we know what we're getting out of Russell Wilson this one. We know he's healthy, meaning that he's been running around. If you saw him, you know, playing football against Ghost in the huddle, mentally he's definitely prepared. So he's around the guys the entire time. He's not like Aaron Rodgers at home on like a, you know, calling in on like Skype and trying to go over some, you know, live meetings. But the one thing that is interesting here is it is to his throwing hand, the injury. So he got those ligaments fixed. Saw him in the press conference yesterday in good spirits that he's just back to being, you know, 100% in this game. So I think I'm trusting that he is going to be healthier than Aaron Rodgers, even though Aaron Rodgers doesn't have an injury. It's just hard, Kevin, being a professional athlete where, you know, timing is of the essence when you're working with your guys and trying to get the game plan down where they're going to practice without you for roughly 2 weeks and you're going to show up a night before the game and say, I'm back, I'm ready to go. I don't know how that translates to how sharp you're going to be the next day. So if we're looking at two quarterbacks with question marks, to me, Kevin, the bigger question mark is actually with Aaron Rodgers, not with Russell Wilson.
So I disagree in just this sense, Donnie. This is the first time Russ has ever missed time. From 2012 to 2020, 16 games every single year. He hasn't played football in over a month and a half. And yes, he is out there flexing the hips and calling plays in the huddle like an absolute maniac before primetime games. I'm sure Russell Wilson has remained locked in the whole way. Probably has Sierra running routes in the house just so he can stay sharp. I get it. But it is going to be different. Again, over a month of football now missed for Russell Wilson. And Russ was, as always, playing great football when he was around. But the Seahawks weren't necessarily putting up great results, Donnie. All in all, they 2-4 against the number with Russ as their quarterback here. This is, or 2-3, against the number with Russ at the quarterback position. I have a little bit of concerns what that is going to look like for him. But the odd thing is, Donnie, the Seahawks have now done this back-to-back seasons. They opened the first half of the year, maybe the worst defense your eyes will ever see, and then they're just randomly pretty good. If you look at it right now, they have now held four straight opponents under their team total, and they did it perfectly with Geno under center. Maybe they're trying to slow the game down a little bit here, understanding around the locker room. We have to step up with our guy not here at the starting gate, Donnie, but is this Seattle defense one that you have to be cautious about fading and how that impacts Aaron Rodgers and his return?
Yeah, maybe rounding back into form. You're right, because you can see market changes here from defenses over the length of the season. Boy, they look really good. Now they look bad. Now they look good again. There's no shortage of talent. The Seattle issue has never been talent. It's just putting it together. But also, Kevin, if you're taking a look at the game itself here, right? Opening number at the FanDuel Sportsbook, -5.5. Now we sit at that 3.5 price. But the one that we're looking at now here is the 49.5 overall. There are some weather concerns, Kevin, in this game that we're going to talk about as well.
Radio audience in full effect. Appreciate all those listening to the early line on Sports Grid Radio. Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside with you here. We'll get to that weather. I just wanted to acknowledge quickly just the Packers against the number. The Cowboys were the story ATS-wise because they were perfect until last week. Well, now they don't even have the most against the number wins here because this Packers team is 8-1, essentially flawless here, backdoored against the Chiefs. But even with Rodgers, right, Donnie, 7-1 against the number, the only non-cover was their opening game against the Saints here. So they've continued to put those results up on the board. But again, we don't even know 100% if Rodgers plays here. We assume he does. But what, again, does Rodgers look like coming off of the COVID?
No, you're exactly right. And also, let's take a look at the game and the way it shapes up here, Kevin, because there's two teams possibly going in different directions. Green Bay wins this game with Aaron Rodgers and he comes back. They're looking good maybe for a chance at that top seed overall in the NFC. If you take a look at Seattle and they lose this game, they're basically done. And I know we say, oh, look at the bad back end and maybe they can get hot. But let's also talk about the Seattle Seahawks. You're not playing like the Green Bay Packers. We have the Chicago Bears, the Detroit Lions, and the Minnesota Vikings in your division. Mm-hmm. You have legitimate 10-bell contenders that you're going to have to try to climb over when your team is way under 500 after this game. This is a massive game from the Seattle side. And also, as I said, the weather conditions here, Kevin, more Green Bay like here in November. Mid-30s, winds over 10 miles an hour. Not exactly the greatest performance if your throwing hand is a little bit off, as Russell Wilson might be, or just under the weather like Aaron Rodgers.
And pair that, Donnie, with these teams are a combined 13-3-1 to the under on this season. The Packers have now gone under in 6 straight football games. Yes, you might say, well, Seattle, Geno Smith, that's a little bit different, but we talked about it. Their defense stepping up here, and they were still not an overs. They have one over on the season. They're still not an overs team when Russell Wilson was out there for them. Right now, I think that number, as you mentioned, Donnie, might just be a tick too high, but it's Rodgers and Rush. What can they really do with the number? It'll be an interesting one to break down. We started off with Eagles-Broncos next.
This is the Technology Minute with George Capalbo.
Elon Musk's new 5'8" humanoid robot project codenamed Optimus. AI robots at Tesla and maybe your house. Based on Tesla's autonomous self-driving car tech. Intended for dangerous, repetitive, or boring tasks.
Can I be of service, sir?
So, what does this mean for us humans?
We can coexist, but only on my terms.
Or even...
Gordon, Matu, Rada, Nikto.
Elon says not to worry, you'll be able to outrun or even knock down your testy Tesla bot. But Boston Dynamics, purveyors of nightmare fuel biped robot YouTube videos, think slow robots are an ominous joke.
In a few years, I'll move so fast you will need a strobe light to see me.
Sweet dreams. Follow me at GCapalvo on Twitter and stay tuned to The Technology Minute for more cool stuff like this.
Everybody's got an opinion. Go ahead.
Ask them.
But only a few have an opinion informed by expert analysis and experience. It's called trust.
It's why we're here.
For you. Keep it here and get the edge. You're listening to Sports Grid Radio on Sirius XM.
Rowdy morning. Back door is what I'm noticing. And I don't like that very much. That's okay. Because now we get to talk about the Philadelphia Eagles here. On the early line, and it is a big game for the Birds, who are on the road. Obviously, they're not even a field goal dog. They are the single most respected team against the number week in, week out. Every week, Donnie, they jump off the page as the sharp side of the coin. 45.5 is the total for this football game. What do you make of the Birds going on the road?
Yeah, as Aaron Rodgers likes to say, you know, relax. What you say about the Philadelphia Eagles is way too much respect at this point. I'm not saying the Eagles can't win this game or be competitive, Kevin. And I'm not just knocking the Eagles. The Eagles are my favorite team. I root for them every week. But sometimes I just continue to look at this and say, they're playing good football teams, and they're playing good football teams on the road in elevation in a hostile environment. And let's also take a look at the Denver Broncos and what they've done. Now, also, we're going to break this game down because there are some offensive line real efficiencies coming up in the game for the Denver Broncos as they look to be down three offensive starters. But let's just take a look at their team as a whole here. They're playing another NFC East team. Oh, yeah, last time they played Washington in Denver, 17-10 victory, touchdown winner. They go on the road last week against another NFC East opponent in the Dallas Cowboys and thrash them 30-16, which they had a 30-0 lead in the fourth quarter. So you come home and you play the Philadelphia Eagles, who by any shape or form don't have a great record and seemingly struggle with teams that are good to average to above average. And now you're going to say again, Kevin, we're going to give you a number of under three. I don't like if the Eagles were 4.5 in this game. Hey, you know what? They can keep it close. They don't even have to win, but as long as they lose by a field goal like they did last week against the Chargers, that can add up. But the fact that the Philadelphia Eagles are a decent football team but continue to get priced in each and every environment as if they are favored or supposed to win the football game, because as we know, being bettors here, 2.5, 2, 1.5, pick them. You're expected to win the football game, not just hang around. I think the Eagles can hang around in this game, but again, Kevin, I can't take just 2.5 points here with the Philadelphia Eagles on the road in Denver.
No, it's nightmarish, Donnie. Again, the numbers are they're just a bit shy. They haven't covered, Donnie, 5 separate games. In 3 of those non-covers, if you teased them, you were good, right? They're right around the mark. The one thing I'll say is nobody knows the Denver Broncos, and that includes Nugs, like old Kevin Walsh. We told you the first 3 weeks they were fraudulent. It was proven when they stepped up in competition. But then what were we saying last week, Donnie? Dallas better be careful. That Broncos team was going to play some inspired football because they kind of like perfectly timed it where they said, hey, we got rid of Von Miller. You upset the group, but we believe enough to keep Teddy around. And Dallas was running high, highest of highs. But now I think the Denver Broncos need to be careful. The problem is I can't keep running back to the window on the Eagles as a money line dog. But they're live in this game, and their offense is playing well right now. Look, at the end of the day, this team has scored at least 21 points in 7 straight football games and 8 of 9 overall. And it's hilarious that they're now the ground attack Birds. Like, I was taking a look, Donnie, at some of the projected props for Hurts passing numbers here. We're getting the Justin Fields sub-200 numbers on Jalen Hurts.
No, we certainly are, and I guess that's a product of your environment because, you know, usually you'd say, well, Jalen Hurts can't throw for many yards. They are running the ball so effectively the past 2 weeks that it only makes sense. So good on Nick Sirianni for actually changing up the game plan to say what is going to fit our needs, what is going to keep us close to these games with a legitimate chance at a victory, and that's certainly the case. The one mismatch I want to look at in this game, or what should be a mismatch in the Philadelphia Eagles' favor, is the Eagles' defensive line versus the offensive line, or what makes of an offensive line for the Denver Broncos, down 3 starters this week. We'll see who comes to the starting gate on Sunday. But my issue here with what should be a perceived mismatch where the Eagles should be able to rush the passer at will and get to Teddy Bridgewater is they haven't been able to do that over the past couple weeks. Fletcher Cox is a big-time defensive tackle, but not getting those pressures and sacks that we're waiting for. Ever since Brandon Graham was down with an Achilles injury, sort of the leader in the clubhouse over there, they haven't been able to rush the passer. Also, take a look at Josh Sweat, who is struggling with a concussion this week but is practicing. Your one strategy is to get home against Teddy Bridgewater so those wide receivers can't run free in the secondary is get pressure on him. You should be able to do that this weekend with a lot of injuries on the front line for the Denver Broncos. But at the same time, Kevin, if they're not getting home, they haven't been. It's not like they have a devastating pass rush they're going to dominate. They need to step up this weekend to keep it close. But just to get to back to the original point, the number is too low to back the Philadelphia Eagles here. It would only be a Broncos side for me.
Team totals, perhaps, could be interesting. Maybe a money line dog.
Yes.
Let's keep it with the AFC West here. Kansas City against Vegas. Donnie, you take notes, right, for every game here. I wrote in all caps, leave me alone. I am so tired of breaking down Chiefs spreads because I am fully aware that it is people like me who are responsible for Kansas City never covering. Because it is people like me who every single week say, well, this is the Chiefs' week here. I mean, I'm looking at the games, Donnie. I'm looking at them. Against the Browns, I remember you like, I loved the Browns against the number. I thought you were insane. I looked at that game against Buffalo, 2.5. Are you crazy? The game against the Titans, the game last week against Green Bay. They just don't cover. But here's the deal. They're now under a field goal favorite on the road. If they don't cover, they're probably going to lose this game, Donnie. They can't lose this game, Donnie. But maybe they can. Who knows? Vegas has historically, oddly, played Mahomes tight here. What are you doing with this game, Donnie?
And as we talk about MVPs, right, usually in the beginning of the season, you're looking at Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Tom Brady, you know, Aaron Rodgers. But maybe the MVP of the Kansas City Chiefs is not Tyreek Hill at wide receiver, is not Kelce at tight end, and is not Patrick Mahomes at the quarterback position. Maybe it's Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who's missed the past couple weeks. You want to take a look at some of those stats? 27-3, loss. 20-17, win. 13-7, win. The offense just seems broken here. Maybe they're just needing that Swiss Army knife out of the backfield that can catch some screen passes, which Andy Reid is a genius dialing up, or just trying to even out the flow of, hey, Patrick Mahomes, you don't have to do an aerial assault every week and throw the ball in the double coverage. Give me the football. Let's control things on the ground. Now, when you take a look from a perspective of better defenses here, obviously the Las Vegas Raiders have a much better defense overall than the Kansas City Chiefs. And the one thing that the Las Vegas Raiders have done well all season long, which we just talked about the Philadelphia Eagles, which they haven't done well, is rush the passer and get pressure on the passer. The one thing we know about Patrick Mahomes over the past 2 years, seems like blitz him, don't blitz him, it doesn't matter. They're going to slice and dice you. But it seems like the pressure has been affecting all year long Patrick Mahomes and pressing for turnovers that he typically doesn't have. So we're going over what makes sense and what doesn't make sense, and they draw you in, Kevin. They do it each and every week. They hang you a line here out here on the Kansas City Chiefs that says they just have to win the football game. They've had offensive success over the past couple years against the Vegas / Oakland Raiders, and we expect them to do it again because why? We're taking a look and saying, how much more can we take on Kansas City? They can't be this bad on offense. 1 week, they're going to open it up, but if you are continuing with that prognosis of the Chiefs, you are hemorrhaging money out of your bank account. But as you're going to find out in just a few moments here, we get to our pick six contest picks here. I'm falling into that trap again, Kevin. What can I do?
I just please move this game to like 11 a.m. Don't take this off prime time. Leave me alone, man. How many Mahomes props I'm going to end up with there on a Sunday Night Football? Oh, I mean, the give back, get back is out of this world. Mahomes, over 2.5 touchdown passes. It hasn't hit in a decade since the Eagles game. Mm. You know you got to buy low on that over. He's got to throw 3 touchdown passes against Vegas. They haven't scored 3 touchdowns in 4 of their last 5 games, I'm pretty sure. I just can't quit this team. Vegas 3-1 to the over at home. Mahomes historically puts up tons of points on him. Shouldn't Kelce find the end zone? Shouldn't Tyreek find the end zone? Get this game away from me, man. I will make this point, though. I will make this point to you right now. If Kansas City does win this game, they will go to the favorites for the AFC West. If they don't, I think Vegas actually jumps them in odds to win this division. Because if they don't, then the Chiefs are 5-5. And then I'm pretty sure even I would end up quitting this Kansas City team if they were 5-5. Spoiler alert, no, I wouldn't. I'll never quit this team. I'll always believe in Patrick Mahomes. More Week 10 breakdown after this quick break right here on Sports Grid.
Sports Professor Rick Caro inside the $1.3 trillion business of sports with your Sports News Minute. Netflix has been amazing historically and from a business perspective in cornering the market for consumers. Now they've made a calculated decision to get into gaming, dealing with a company called BonusXX to put together a process for Android devices, no commercials, gaming, streaming, continuous gaming opportunities. And they're testing it, but with Netflix testing and the consumer base, you know it's going to be successful. And then the next step may be alignment with other entities, maybe doing it on their own. And the bottom line is, as Netflix continues to offer content and sports, they're going to dabble more in sports and certainly more in gaming because, as we all understand, both of those go hand in hand. Sports Professor Ricaro, Sports News Minute.
Don't think of us as a place to just hear sports talk. Think of us more as an all-you-can-listen buffet of live odds, lines, matchups, injury reports, and news you can use.
Bon appetit!
We are Sports Grid Radio on Sirius XM.
Let's keep things moving right here on Sports Grid. How about the Vikings and the Chargers? We were just talking about the AFC West. LA still the favorite to win that division, Donnie, and they're favorites here against Kirk Cousins and the lads. 3-point favorites. This total is a 53 spot.
Yeah, I think they're going to get some points in this game because you've got two quarterbacks that are willing to sling it out here, defenses that are questionable at best. And also, if you take a look from Dalvin Cook, as long as he plays this weekend, he should have some running room going up against one of the worst rushing defenses in the NFL, being the Chargers. But also, let's take a look at the last 2 weeks here for the Minnesota Vikings. And it hasn't been all that great, even though for myself, I had a team total last week, Kevin, that I betted over 20. They ended up scoring 31 points. You'd figure, boy, that was really easy. Now, it was helped out by a kickoff return to start the second half. But after that, which basically got them their 24th point, they didn't do very much till late in that ballgame to tie it up. 2 weeks ago, against the Dallas Cowboys, decent defense here, Kevin. 101 yards on the ground, which is good. 177 in the air. That's not going to get it done. Now, that game, they lost 20-16 at home to the Dallas Cowboys. They go on the road last week against the Baltimore Ravens, who particularly, I don't love their defense. They did score the 31 points, which is great, but look at the offense here. 131 yards on the ground, which was 5.5 yards per rushing attempt. And a lot of that, Kevin, was with Dalvin Cook on that one big play in the first half, which he ran for about 70 yards on one single run alone. But then only 187 yards passing. Now, I'm putting a lot of faith here in the Vikings, which I think they'll wake up here. You got a good environment to play in on a fast track, not against a great defense. And if Justin Herbert is on his A game, you got a pretty good running mate. So this game alone, I don't know if Minnesota can go on the road per se and win this game, but I do think they'll hang around and score some points. I like the team total here for the Minnesota Vikings over. And if I like that, you're probably also looking at the 53 in this game as well.
Agree across the board. Minnesota, too, I think, Donnie, and I know you followed it closely with it being your favorite team total on the board. But if you kind of look at it, it was a weird way it played out, right? Because they had a drive that finished at about the two-minute warning in that first half. Then there was a Lamar pick. They had a quick drive, settle for a field goal. They didn't really take the field again until there was less than 9 minutes left in the third quarter.
Yeah.
You pair all that game time plus halftime, their offense didn't have the ball for an hour of real time. It kind of throws things off of a team that was moving the football well and was playing good. And the thing is, Donnie, they've done that now all year long on the road. This team is 4-0 to the over away from Minnesota this season. And this is just a team that's performed well as an underdog. A perfect 3-0 against the number as a dog. And this is a Chargers defense that's bleeding points right now, giving up over 30 points per game over their last four outings. I think you're going to see the Vikings score here. And I think the Vikings are live. We talked about the back end of the NFC, Donnie, is going to put a couple of these teams on upset alert here. And Minnesota has been knocking on the door of some of these upsets here because even though they're only three, they are 3-0 against the number as a dog, they've actually only won once of those games. The points have mattered. So take this field goal. It's Chargers football. They might miss an extra point, and who knows what happens here. Minnesota jumps off as a really nice team potentially for a teaser spot this week. But I think the Vikings will be keeping this one competitive here with Donnie. Again, a Chargers team that I have lost a lot of luster for over the past couple of weeks here.
And also, they're banged up as well, too, Kevin. You have to take a look. But you're right. Maybe you expected a little bit more out of the Chargers on the season as a whole because you just expect, Justin Herbert's going to deliver. He was fantastic against the Eagles, 80% completion rate in that game. But also, another angle here for Minnesota. I'm not the biggest Kirk Cousins believer here, but I do understand what he does well, and that's playing the regular season, Kevin. Look at his statistics this year. 68% completions, 16 touchdowns and two interceptions. I think sometimes we rate him a little bit harshly there, but as a regular season quarterback in a game where they should be able to move the football in good conditions, I think he's going to play a pretty good part here. And again, I can't get over the fact that neither one of these teams really stopped the run all that well, so everything should be in play. Points here for me out in L.A.
Yeah, I look forward, Donnie, to seeing some of the touchdown score markets here. I think an Eckler-Cook parlay could be nice because both guys' numbers might be a little too high to bet on their own. If not, though, I think both guys are good looks for any time touchdown scores here. Let's keep it moving, Donnie. A really good battle between a couple of teams that are trying to create some separation here from the other, really, for the AFC playoffs. Browns-Pats. The New England Patriots are 2.5-point favorites with a total of 45. Man, if I would have told you before the season that New England would be favored in this game, I think you'd be quite surprised. But they've earned it, Donnie. 5-4, this New England team overall. Same mark as the Cleveland Browns. But the one thing for the Pats, they have struggled at home. Only 1-4 straight up in Foxborough this season.
Yeah, and it's a good game here, and it's kind of a shame that you're going to get maybe a lesser effort out of the players that are in there, or that will be available for the Cleveland Browns. You know, you got a lot of guys on COVID, a lot of injuries, a lot of banged up, you know, running backs particularly here. But I like the way Baker Mayfield is starting to play, but also let's take the spotlight off of the offense for Cleveland. Isn't that where we always go, Kevin? Really good offensive line, good wide receivers. Odell Beckham Jr. was there. How's he going to play with Landry, and can Baker Mayfield get him the football? And, oh, yeah, you can still hand off to Nick Chubb in the backfield and also Kareem Hunt. Let's take the focus off that. You know who's playing really well? That Cleveland Browns defense, with Denzel Ward now coming back and playing healthy, a dominant cornerback in the league, which leaves you a nasty pass rush in an athletic front seven that has been getting home. Look at the Cincinnati Bengals game, 41-16. Even though they lost to Pittsburgh, only gave up 15 points in that game. They beat the Denver Broncos 17-14. So this team is starting to come to play on the defensive end. And also keep in mind, I know we spend a lot of time here saying, well, there's not going to be any Nick Chubb or Kareem Hunt. How are they going to run the football? Flip it over to the New England side. Both starting running backs, or should I say, both running backs expected to get a large market share of carries for the Patriots, with Harris and Ramondre Stevenson both having concussion issues. So if we see if they actually get to the starting gate. But I got to tell you right now, I like the way the Cleveland Browns defense is playing. Now that you don't have Odell Beckham, that's going to take that spotlight away on the offense. You could spread the football around. I don't think it's live here. Cleveland is a live dog for me heading up to New England.
I think overall, though, I expect points in this game with this total of 45. This is a classic alt-over spot for me. Donnie, the Browns have played 3 games without Odell. Is it a monster sample size? No. But it speaks volumes. They have scored 29, 31, and 41 without OBJ in their lineup. Mm. We talked about this a lot. They're just better when Odell's not around. It's been proven year over year, game over game. Pair that with a Patriots team, and you're making great points there. A little banked up, good Browns defense overall. I get it. But this is a team, Donnie, that has scored now at least 24 points in 5 straight outings. They found ways. And sometimes they're doing it with a pick 6, right? Mac Jones in good field position with their defense. But they might be able to do that here against Baker Mayfield. Donnie, I look at this game. I look at this 45. If I told you both these teams get to 24, I wouldn't be surprised by that in the slightest.
No, and they're coming into their own as well. Like, Baker Mayfield was really injured a couple weeks ago. Is he going to be 100% by the end of the season? Probably not. But it looks like he's found a way to be comfortable wearing that harness and playing football. And then also, Mac Jones, the evolution of a young quarterback. You're seeing them take a little bit of those restrictions off him each and every week so they can move the ball. It would be nice if you want points to get both of those running backs back into the fray for New England, because once that offensive line got healthy, if you remember the Texans game a couple weeks ago, down 4 of their 5 offensive starters on the line, the minute they got those guys back, that offense started to move the football.
Really strong look to potentially take down and over in that game. Excited to kind of see how some of these props line up. Waiting on some statuses for running backs in this game. Maybe some buy low spots there. It'll be good to follow. How about, man, this is an interesting game here, Donnie. The Tennessee Titans against the New Orleans Saints. Tennessee right now is the hottest team in the NFL. Tennessee, listen, the resume, Donnie, they could argue to be the best team in the NFL. Forget the hottest team in the NFL. And they have been excellent against the number as well. 7-2 overall. They've covered 6 consecutive games. They're dominant as a dog, but they're favored here. And they're favored by 2.5 points against a Saints team, Donnie, that has been good as a dog this season, 3-0 against the number. How do you feel like these teams match up here?
look, again, don't outsmart yourself. If you don't watch a lot of football, but you're just a casual Sunday afternoon, hey, I want to put up down a couple bets, I'm going to cheer on my favorite team, I understand that. But look at the simplicity of this game. Tennessee is home. It's already hard to win on the road, right? You have a dome team in the New Orleans Saints going on the road. It looks like Trevor Siemian is going to be your starting quarterback. And, oh, yeah, by the way, when we look at the offense and say it just doesn't look all that fresh, thank goodness that they have an unbelievable running back in Alvin Kamara. Well, it just so happens Alvin Kamara hasn't even practiced yet this week. So if you're going to tell me now I'm going to get a good defense with New Orleans, but I'm going to go on the run with Trevor Siemian and my number one overall threat not playing in this game. So basically you're asking Trevor Siemian to win the game. You say, Donnie, okay, well, the Saints are probably getting 7.5, so it might be all right. It's good defense, good head coach, you have a good game plan. Not necessarily. You're seeing 2.5 here at the FanDuel. At FanDuel Sportsbook. What is going on here? Am I missing something here? Tennessee is beating the upper echelon teams week in and week out. Now, New Orleans still is a very good team, but this isn't Drew Brees of 3 years ago coming in, Alvin Kamara, Michael Thomas, Emmanuel Sanders, and an offense that's just going up and down the field with a healthy offensive line. They are completely banged up and devoid of weapons. Sign me up for the Titans. What am I missing here, Kevin, with this line?
So as I continue to go through it, right, Donnie, this is Saints team that's yet to lose consecutive games, and they've rotated covers every single week, right? Buy low, sell high, buy low, sell high. The problem with this number, that and it's the case that you're making here, is I'm not buying low in the Saints. I'm buying into the sharp line. That's what we talk about here, right? This is a Saints line. I get it.
Yep.
But that doesn't mean I have to bet it. Saints in a teaser, Donnie, up to 8.5, we can talk. But this is just not a number that I'm comfortable enough betting. And I got to tell you on the total as well, Donnie, right? Saints right now, 3-1 under on the road. Titans 3-1 under at home. I'm not betting a Tennessee game under at 44.5. I don't care. I can't do that right now. It's one of those games that you might be getting same game teasers in here, trying to find your spots a little bit more specifically because the numbers are difficult to buy into. I think Donnie's absolutely spot on. Pick six and more breakdown next.
Pharrell, coast to coast.
Lions cover. Steelers don't beat anyone by 9. They can't win a game by 3, let alone 9. The other day, I said to you, they can't win a game by 3. They won by 2. I told you they wouldn't cover. They did. They're not going to cover this game either because the Steelers make too many mistakes. They'll be up 14 in 2 games. They've been up 14 in both games. They blew the lead.
It's Pharrell Coast to Coast with Scott Pharrell. Weekdays, 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 Pacific. On the home of the Winning Edge, the Sports Grid Radio Network. Look, we're not saying all the other sports talk networks are backward, but we're pretty sure they all have a favorite Hee-Haw episode.
Get on the grid.
Hee-Haw. This is Sports Grid Radio on Sirius XM.
Two more games to get to for week number 10. Then our pick six as we continue to move through this board here. On the early line, Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside with you. Also on the radio side, SiriusXM, channel 159, the home of Sports Grid Radio. Let's talk some Colts-Jaguars here. I love this game because the Colts are a really fun team. Even though they're 4-5, we all know they're better than that record suggests. They've squandered opportunities. We know that to be true. But they've been good in this spot here, Donnie. A big favorite, supposed to get the job done. They have been able to get the job done. But Jacksonville, maybe feeling good about themselves, rejuvenized after a big-time win against the Buffalo Bills. 47.5 is the total. 10.5 is the spread.
I expect the Indianapolis Colts to move the football in this game. I really do. I mean, just, you know, Carson Wentz handing off to Jonathan Taylor probably should be good enough here. But the one interesting aspect is when you take a look at sometimes when you see the Jets out there, it's like, hey, can the Jets move the football? We know their defense is really bad. They'll give up points. So we take a look at the total in this game, hovering at 47.5 at the FanDuel Sportsbook. But going over the game itself, what can we make of the Jacksonville Jaguars? Because Urban Meyer brought in, not really for defensive prowess, but running a modern offense. You got a high-octane quarterback that you drafted, number one overall. Mm-hmm. And did you see the last 2 weeks here, Kevin? 7 points against Seattle, 9 points against Buffalo. So three field goals in one game, one touchdown. Keep in mind, that was a 31-0 game before Jacksonville scored within the last few minutes of that game, basically against a, what, prevent defense. So we're trying to level up and say, what can I get out of Jacksonville? Because typically when you watch Indianapolis, you can score on them. You really can. But I don't know what I'm getting out of the Jacksonville offense at this point. That was DJ Chark should have been the MVP of the NFL. Once he went down, they can't move the football at all. But if I'm looking from a Colts perspective here, I do think they win this football game and win it easily. It's a double-digit number. Now, if we're saying to ourselves, Jacksonville is going to struggle on offense, I don't think Indianapolis on the opposite side, Kevin, is going to struggle. Also, look who's probably going to be playing again this week. Welcome back, T.Y. Hilton. So if you have competent wide receivers, a good offensive line, and a dominant running game, I don't think Jacksonville holds up in this one. This should be a 2-touchdown victory for me by the Indianapolis Colts here on Sunday, Kevin.
For me, if you like Jacksonville, you have to like the team total at 17.5. The Colts have given up over that number in 5 of their last 6. This is a Colts team that is going to move the football. Jacksonville, what they did defensively, is more about Buffalo having no idea they had a game last week than what the Jaguars are going to be on the defensive side of the ball. But, Donnie, I couldn't think of a better fade spot than a team that is coming off of clearly their best win of the season, where they also didn't play well. Imagine, Donnie, that Jaguars team with that performance, right? I mean, more so the offensive side of the ball, I guess we should say here. But imagine that group, Donnie, riding high, not as focused in practice, but also didn't really play well here. I can't trust the Jaguars overall. I wanted to bet an over in this football. I can't bet an over with the Jacksonville Jaguars right now. I agree with Donnie. I think the Colts are likely to win this game by 2 touchdowns here. I wouldn't look to the Jags in teaser spots either. Ah, give me 16.5. They should keep it within 2 touchdowns. I'm not sure that's true. Again, the Colts have been double-digit favorites twice, covering both times overall. Let's get to them. Everyone's favorite team, the lovable losers, the greatest 0-8 team the NFL has ever seen, except for when people seemingly are like, oh, look, they're really good. I'll bet them. And then they do really bad things. And their last game, Donnie, they lost by 38 to the Philadelphia Eagles. It's the Detroit Lions. It's the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's going to be a good one. Pittsburgh, 8.5-point favorite. This total's 42.5.
Yeah, normally we wouldn't be talking too much about the Lions, but now I am fully invested in the Lions on the season and hope they lose game after game after game. You say, who can't have fun in week 18 of the NFL season? Well, if the Detroit Lions wind up winless by the time they get to week 18, it will be fun in the DRS household to cheer on the Detroit Lions to actually pick up a victory over the Green Bay Packers at a 30-1 price. But that's, you know, far down the road. Let's take a look at this game. What makes sense and what doesn't make sense? What doesn't make sense, or I should say what might make sense, is you not watching this football game and trying to enjoy it. If you like team props to the over, probably not going to be your game here. Temperatures in the 30s, winds blowing around, Big Ben banged up once again. Chase Claypool probably not going to get to the starting gate. And also Najee Harris now fired up here and saying, hey, he should dominate in this game. And oh yeah, he's injured as well. I don't know who's moving the football from the Pittsburgh side, but then again, Jared Goff heading to town against a really good defense outdoors. What are we looking at? 3-4 yard slants all game long. Maybe even goes again 20 of 28 for 176 yards and can't even lead a touchdown drive. The only way I'm looking in this game, Kevin, is the under in this one. I think the Pittsburgh Steelers being favored by that much, 8 points, I think is a little bit ridiculous due to the injuries that we're seeing now. And also, the Detroit Lions are coming off a bye. So if you are going to get a decent performance out of the Lions, you would think it probably would come this week, because I don't think they have to do all that much, because I don't think the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to put a lot of pressure on that terrible Detroit Lions defense. I can't take the 8-point number, but I could certainly look at an under in this game.
So I want to talk about the idea of the Lions winning this game, something again Donnie is very invested in not happening.
Yeah,
but if you are thinking that it could happen, the Lions are plus 290 on the money line. But we always talk about shop around for the best numbers. Occasionally, at the grocery store that is the FanDuel Sportsbook, they will sell you your favorite bag of cookies on aisle 7 for one price. But if you just look a little bit harder, in aisle 10, you can get a better number. The Steelers to be the first win for the Lions is plus 340. Look, I'm just saying it's 50 cents of free value that there's no reason for you to leave on the table. And I don't know if the Lions will win this game. But I do feel pretty good, Donnie, about them covering this number. Because the Lions, as we've talked about, have rotated covers every single week of the season because Dan Campbell gets his team up. This is your Super Bowl. We can do it. And then they don't, but they cover. And then they're all exhausted from playing the Rams and emptying every single bag of tricks that they could possibly have so that the Birds come into town and absolutely annihilate them. And the Lions have the perfect, and I mean the perfect opponent, Donnie, because not only are the Steelers 0-4 against the number as a favorite, Donnie, they have yet to win a game by more than one possession. 8.5 points, I think you have to back the Lions here.
And it's, isn't that crazy? Like, imagine that. Cut that clip. We have to back the Lions here, but it makes the most sense. Because if you think that the Detroit Lions, right? Like, if the Detroit Lions can get to double digits, they're probably going to cover this number. This game screams like 17-13 finish here. There's just not enough weapons on either side of this game to say, hey, I'm comfortable taking a team total over. I'm comfortable with prop bets to the over. It just looks like an ugly game here from the outset at 1 o'clock on Sunday in the Steel City.
I look forward to it, though. Again, no one's rooting for the Lions to win the game. If you're from Detroit, yes. Mm-hmm. If you bet the money line, do your thing. But here on the early line, we want this team to lose. Get them to week 17. Let's make some money. That's what the people are rooting on here. But we're also going to root on our pick six. We usually don't have as much time here to get involved with the pick six. I'm excited. Donnie, this game is featured on your pick six. Lead us off here. What are we looking at for week number 10?
Yeah, exactly. This is usually one of my favorite episodes of the week because, you know, it's the end of the week for us here. But also, I like to run the clock out on Kevin, so he only has about 30 seconds to give his pick six plays. So I'll try to be a little bit faster today so he can actually get some words in here to get after it. But let's start here with the Buffalo Bills finally getting right. You've seen in my pick six contest with these plays that I've had. I've chosen a few times here Stephon Diggs. He has yet to pay off. So maybe we're getting a little bit better prices at a plus 115. If the Buffalo Bills are going to score points this weekend, you can easily do it through the air, and I think that's going to take place. So Josh Allen one time this weekend over to Stephon Diggs at plus 115. I think it makes a lot of sense. My money line dog, we just talked about a few moments ago. A lot of the times you've seen me strike gold with some of these games, you know, +4, +6, +7, or even higher, taking down those massive profits. But I didn't find those edges this week. But one team I think is a little bit sneaky heading into Foxborough, that is going to be the Cleveland Browns. Who would take the Cleveland Browns? No Odell Beckham Jr., no running backs to speak of here, going to lean on a young back and also Baker Mayfield taking the show on the road. But I'm going to trust in that defense here for the Cleveland Browns to keep this game close with a chance of an outright victory. That is a plus 116. We just talked about the Steelers and the Lions. If this game gets over 42.5 points, I would be absolutely shocked here in this environment. I just don't see very many big plays coming from either side. And if I think the weather is going to be a little bit iffy in the mid-30s with some wind, I'll take the under in this one. Alt line, yes. I'm going to dive, you know, head in right now, Kevin. And that's going to be with the Kansas City Chiefs. If they're going to win this game against the Vegas Raiders, I expect them to do it by a touchdown or more. So I'm going to take my alt line this week with the Chiefs, -6.5 at a plus 160 price. Now, the next bet I have here on a yardage prop, we don't have official numbers. And quite frankly, I don't care what they are. As long as Dalvin Cook starts in this football game, he is going to average 5 yards per carry. He is going to get over the century mark and possibly score a touchdown. So I'm going to go with my yardage prop, Dalvin Cook, over against the Los Angeles Chargers. Then my teaser game of the week. And oh, I like this. Cold weather conditions. Not even sure if Aaron Rodgers is going to play. Russ will get to the starting gate, and he could be a little bit rusty. Why? I don't even need him to win, Kevin. Give me the Seahawks as my half of the teaser, +9.5. The pick six stage on a Friday, Kevin, now is yours.
I love it. First of all, again, tag team teaser, 8-1.
Yep.
No, the 1 week it lost, obviously, if we both lost. I want it to be perfect, and I love it. Let me also just say, I love that the Dalvin Cook over rush yards has no number, but we know the juice is minus 114. That's one of my favorite things I've ever seen. I absolutely adore that here. Let's get it rocking. Let's get it rolling here. It's just we're assuming juice. It's the best. Here's my pick six. Uh-huh. Again, I don't know what I'm going to do it all this time. We're just going to be silent for a minute here. Let's break it down. I go in reverse order. My portion of the tag team teaser. The Detroit Lions, +14.5. The Steelers winning a game by 2 touchdowns? I can't get there. I can't do it. We've used the Lions before in the tag team teaser. We trust the Detroit Lions here on the early line, plus 14 and a half. The yardage prop, look, whenever the number comes, we're not worried about it. It was a target player prop from earlier in the week, which made it easy to kind of select here, even though we don't have a full slate just yet. But it's the James Conner over rush yards. The workload will be there with Chase Edmonds out. Double-digit favorites. Also factoring in that Kyler Murray still very likely not 100%. They should want to give James Conner a full workload here in week number 10. How about the alt line? And let me tell you right now, a lot of times Donnie will look to spreads, which are great looks. But I've looked at these alt overs all 9 weeks, and it'll happen here again in week 10. And we've hit these more often than not. Last week, over 53.5, Ravens-Vikings, a plus 150 payout with the plus money. This has been a good strategy here. You get these games, a little bit field goal over the asking price, and you can make some legitimate money in these markets here. And this week, Josh Allen, Mike White, a great quarterback, and Josh Allen on this field, over 51.5, a plus 150 payout here in Jets-Bills. The under. There are a couple of shots this week for unders here, actually. There's some unders waiting on this board. But Packers-Seahawks is going to be my call. 49.5 under that mark here. Russ first game back in over a month. Rodgers first game coming off of the COVID here. Those teams, again, 13-3-1 combined to the under on this season. The money line dog. Donnie deserved this one last week. Let's be honest. With Minnesota, maybe they'll help me out here this week. Plus 148. 3-0 against the number as a dog. They've been knocking on that door for an outright upset here. And I think this is the week they get it because the Chargers are coached by Brandon Staley. And I will continue to fade Brandon Staley. I cannot stand that that guy is still the favorite. And lastly, your touchdown score, Travis Kelce. He is getting into the end zone. Constantly scores against the Raiders. Deserves to be into the end zone. Scored last week. You knew the Chiefs were going to be featured somehow, some way. Come on, KC. DRS closes it out next.
You might be the next Daily Fantasy Millionaire. No matter what you watch or where you play, learn from the world's best DFS players. Lineup building tools, expert projections, and advanced stats change the way you play the game. Dominate the competition. DailyRoto.com, the player's choice.
We're here 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year.
Don't believe us?
Never turn us off.
You'll see.
Keep listening to Sports Grid Radio on Sirius XM.
All right, last segment of the week here for the early line right here on Sirius XM channel 159 on the Sports Grid Network. Both myself, Donnie Wrightside, and Kevin Wall setting the table from 7 to 9 a.m. before we hand it off to Ben Stevens and the morning after over the next 3 hours. But in this last segment of the week, you know what you guys need to do? Listen up. Listen up, guys. We're talking about the quarterback position. Now, usually on Monday, we pay armchair quarterback. And on Friday, we're going to pay homage to quarterbacks in the NFL and why they are just built different from the average citizen. Let's take a look just a few short years ago. Well, maybe to me. Turns out it's about 20 years ago. Donovan McNabb playing on a broken ankle against the Arizona Cardinals. That shows the locker room. You are in it to win it. How about 2008? Philip Rivers. AFC Championship game, ring a bell, playing on a torn ACL that he had surgery for just days before. Even in that loss, you showed Philip Rivers is a different breed. Now let's fast forward here over to modern times here in the NFL and take a look at the Green Bay Packers game versus the Seattle Seahawks. Russell Wilson fighting to get back quicker than anybody thought on an injury to his throwing hand. Because why? He's the leader of the locker room and knows how important it is where he's going to carry a city, hopefully, into the playoffs this year. On the opposite side, Aaron Rodgers, away from the team for close to 2 weeks now, going to show up on Saturday night in a meeting and say, guys, I'm ready to lead this team to victory, and that will galvanize that organization. So when we take a look at even the bigger picture here coming on Sunday, one Carson Wentz of the Indianapolis Colts. It's important for the city of Indianapolis to get to the playoffs. Why? because that's what everybody loves, football. You only go as far as your quarterback takes you. So why are we bringing this up? Carson Wentz isn't injured right now. He's looking to play on Sunday, but the news breaks that Carson Wentz's wife is due at any time to have their second child. And Carson Wentz, as anybody would say, like, hey, kid, if you're born on Sunday, quarterback's going to take the day off and spend the time with his wife. Not so fast. Carson Wentz says, even if my wife goes into labor, I will be there for my teammates. Quarterbacks cut from a different breed here in the NFL. Now we're going to hand it off from the early line with myself, Donnie Wrightside, and Kevin Walsh right over to Ben Stevens. Stay tuned right here, SiriusXM channel 159.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Boto Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino's the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big.